Hey guys, welcome to the Mangalog Podcast. This is a weekly manga podcast where I introduce a brand new series each week. And I focus on series that are legally available in English, can be accessed both digitally and physically. And my name is John. I am the sole host of the podcast, but I'm always welcome to community participation. You can read along with me. I give you, a week's notice at the end of each episode. If you would like to do that, you could also, if you've read the series before, you can message me your own thoughts on social media, and I will highlight them on the next episode and kind of reply to it, live on the show. Well, not exactly live, but, And you could also recommend a series for the show, and a few listeners have already. Shout out to one of the hosts of the Queering the Guillotine podcast. They actually recommended Actage to me. And as much as I'd like to cover that, there's not a physical release available, so people that prefer to read manga physically can't follow along or follow up on the series if they'd like to purchase it. But it is coming out with a physical release next year. It's just right now there's nothing physically available. And also, if you want to read it digitally, it's not the most accessible because even though it's in the Shonen Jump app, which is a great deal, I've said before on the podcast, but they're backfilling the chapters right now, so not every single chapter is available, unfortunately. But when that manga eventually does come out physically, chapters have been backfilled, I will definitely follow through on that recommendation. And I think that is it for the introduction to the podcast. You could also suggest stuff for the format, new segment ideas. Definitely, I believe his name was, had recommended some stuff for me. That's how I ended up with the part two idea for the podcast, where I follow up on a series that I've previously covered. So I definitely take those segment recommendations seriously. I also had somebody recently reach out to me on Twitter, just kind of like constructive criticism about, my speech on the podcast, which I definitely appreciate because I have, I have a lot of like bad vocal tics or like habits, I guess. And I don't really edit this podcast because it's just, I really don't have time. I feel like I add, a healthy amount of my time, free time each week, focusing on the podcast, and I don't want to overdo it or get burnt out. So not having to edit just is kind of like a load that I don't have to worry about. And Anchor does a pretty good job of normalizing my audio or something, because it seems like it comes through pretty well through the when I re-listen to the episodes. So, but yeah, Ryan on Twitter, he just gave me some constructive feedback, which I definitely appreciate. Thank you very much. I replied to you on Twitter, but I definitely want to shout you out because I do appreciate stuff like that. I am, I'm not against any sort of criticism. If you guys, if there's certain things about the podcast that bug you, just please let me know, because I want to make the show better. So I'm going to try to be more mindful of my speech. It's funny because I'm a communications major, and yet, I have a degree in it, and yet I'm not the best vocal communicator, which is interesting, right? And now I'm really self-conscious because and it's not because of you, Ryan, but now that I think about it, I really do some of the stuff that I do a lot. Vocally, lots of ums and ahs and likes and just stuff like that that I really need to get better at avoiding. And now that I've pointed that out to you guys, you're probably going to start noticing that in the show. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword. I'm exposing myself and you're like, oh yeah, he does do that a lot. And I'm really self-conscious because my Beastars episode just exploded in popularity, which is awesome. And I'm really happy that I did that episode. Thank you again, Dakazu from Manga Machinations for recommending it. But I feel like I did terrible that episode because it was the first episode I had in a while, and I was just umming every sentence. I didn't know what I was talking about, but I had so many notes there. I wrote down a whole bunch on the series and I was ready to talk about it, but for some reason I think it's just because I had to get back into the flow of recording the podcast. So I ummed and uhed a lot, and I just felt really self-conscious about that episode because this is some of these people's first impression of me because I just came back from a summer break. So maybe people saw that in the feed and they're like, okay, so I'll just start the podcast from where this Beastars episode starts, after he took his break. And I think I might have scared away some people because there was a drop off after that Beastars episode. I still got a decent amount of regular listeners, but since that episode, Or that was just the most popular. I don't know. Maybe it's just because the series is that good. Maybe, I don't know. But I thought, you know, I would get like the weekly count of that episode of returning listeners, and it fluctuates depending on what I cover on the show. It's interesting. Ideally, I'd like people to just follow the show weekly, regardless of what's being covered, because occasionally I do throw in little tidbits of important information and stuff like that. So I like to think people are keeping up with me on a week-to-week basis. I know I do have those regular listeners, and I definitely appreciate you guys. But yeah, sometimes it tends to fluctuate. But yeah, that Beastars episode was so popular, and I was like, oh my god, I messed up a lot on that episode, and I feel like I almost didn't even do the series its due diligence. But I guess people were pleased with it. I don't know. It's just that there was a drop off afterwards. So maybe it's because the series that I followed up with, I think it was Blade of the Immortal. I thought, hey, Blade of the Immortal is pretty popular. That episode was also like 40 minutes long, so it was probably way too long. And speaking of which, if I don't move it along, this episode is going to be way too long. And what you guys are probably expecting, because I'm not only am I covering Flying Witch this week, I also have some podcast updates. So I knew this was going to be a little bit of a longer episode anyway. So hopefully you guys tuned in. Maybe you saw it was Flying Witch, but you're like, I'm not interested. I did include it in the show title, like, hey, podcast updates. So at least listen to this portion if it interests you, what direction the podcast is going. So definitely had recommended, you know, the returning to previously covered series, and then we workshopped it out. And I announced that, hey, I'm going to be doing the part two episodes on the last Friday of the month after that week's episode. So if like the last Friday, say, was on, I don't know, say it was Flying Witch, after the music, the ending music, then I would jump into the next segment, I guess, of the podcast, where I would be having a more spoiler discussion on a previously covered series. And I'm still going to do the part two episodes, but the format's gonna be a little different. It's just gonna be a separate episode. It's not gonna be it's not going to be a separate section in the same episode. And the reason for that is, well, there's a couple reasons, actually. So I don't want people to be intimidated by the length of the episode, because I generally try to keep these episodes pretty short, and, you know, not like over an hour or anything like that. And I feel like if I had like a normal episode that, say, was like 30 minutes, and then I had a part two, then the episode for that week is going to be like over an hour. And I don't want to scare people away. I want this to be pretty digestible. People could just like listen to this podcast on their commute to work or whatever. And I try to stay within that half hour range most of the time. So yeah, the episodes would probably be way too long. And also, I want to be able to track how each individual episode is doing. And if I have a part two episode, or part two segment in the same episode as a manga that I introduced that week, I won't be able to tell if, like, hey, this is popular. Is this popular because of the manga that I chose to cover for the week, or is it popular because I am returning to a previously covered series that's also really popular? So I want to be able to track the individual episodes independently, just to see how they're performing. So that's basically the gist of it. Anyways, so nothing much changed. It's just that, you know, at the end of this month, you're going to get the weekly episode, obviously, and then you're going to get like a bonus episode. If the episode was like episode 40, then the Promised Neverland part two episode is going to be episode 40.5 or whatever. I like doing the 0.5s. You've noticed it in the past where I like announce my hiatus and returns and stuff like that. I like doing the point something. It's just cleaner. I don't know. That's the way I like to format those types of episodes. So, and that just goes along to what I want to talk about next, which is bonus episodes in general. So this is always going to be a manga podcast. That's going to be the main focus, introducing a new manga series each week. That's the core of the show. That's going to be the same thing moving forward. If I add any bonus content that's recurring, like the part two episodes, that's always going to be manga focused as well. The only time that might not be the case is just like extra, just bonus material that's kind of irregular. So my point is, I'm also thinking about doing other bonus material for you guys outside of the regular Friday episodes. That's never going to change. That's never going to conflict with the weekly Friday releases of things. It's just stuff that I'm already doing in my free time. For instance, I do watch some anime. I do read some light novels, which I, you know, is adjacent to this fandom, right? And also, I started to read some like visual novels. I'm reading the Higurashi When They Cry novel on Steam, and I'm enjoying that. So it's just like different material like that that's kind of adjacent to manga, but it's not manga. And I don't want to include it in a regular segment each week or have it replace my regular Manga Friday episodes. But I think it's like, well, I'm already doing it. I figured I might as well use this for podcast material. So for people that are interested, it won't happen every month. It won't even happen every week or anything like that. It's just every once in a while, you might see a 0.5 episode. For instance, like 35.5, right? And that will be focused on something that's not manga related, unless I specifically say, hey, unless you know that it's a recurring segment, like the part two episodes. But I will specify like, hey, this is episode 35.5, Bakemonogatari, and in parentheses, I'll say light novel. And that'll just be an episode of me talking about the Bakemonogatari light novel, because I'm actually reading those right now and somewhat enjoying it. but I would get to that, you know, when I cover it on the show, if I ever do. Because I don't know if I'm going to continue reading it. But just that's just an example. So it would just be bonus material. It would release on a random day out of the week or the month, and it would not conflict at all or replace the regular Friday manga episode. So it's just another idea I had in my head. And it's like, well, I could incorporate this into the show as just bonus, literal bonus material. It's not going to be a regular segment. It can be a regular episode. Just like every once in a while, you might see an episode on a light novel or an episode on a visual novel or anime. So that's all. Because like I do, like I'm reading, I don't want to do like, I don't want to have like a episode that's just like, hey, me talking about the anime season. I don't want to do that. Because the core of this is manga, and it's like I'm trying to stay true to that audience, right? But I do watch occasionally. I'll pick up a couple shows each season. For instance, if you guys are curious, I am reading Babylon, I'm watching Babylon, which is based off of a Japanese novel. It's an anime exclusive to Amazon Prime Video. I'm watching that on Amazon, really enjoying it. I'm also watching, what's the name of that show? Stars Align. I keep thinking of the Japanese title. Stars Align is on Funimation. I'm watching the dub of that. And of course, My Hero Academia, everyone's watching that. I don't want to speak for everyone, but like almost everyone's watching that show because it's so freaking popular. And then just my regular go-to is Gintama. I love that show so much. I try to watch an episode a day because there's so much of it, and I'm trying to like get caught up, not caught up, but like, you know, finish it. And I just love that show so much. I don't know if I'll ever cover that in the podcast, but I just wanted to say that I love Gintama. And I can't talk about the manga because it's like barely released. Like I think Viz just released part of it and then dropped it. I don't, because it wasn't successful, or was it too hard to translate or whatever. Yeah, kind of upset about that. And I recently started watching, not Kimi no Na wa. Oh, what the heck is that called? Your Lie in April. I'm sorry. That's on Netflix. I'm watching the sub of that. That show, I considered covering the manga on the podcast just so I could talk about it. But I think the anime is the definitive experience, the definitive way to experience that material. If you guys are curious about Your Lie in April, watch the anime wherever Netflix, I think it's on Verve and stuff like that too. It is just gorgeous. I tried reading the manga. I was like, this doesn't even compare to the anime. It's one of those rare cases where like the anime outdoes the original source material. It's just gorgeous. Oh, I love it so much. Anyways, I don't want to get off on a tangent. See, this is what I'm afraid of. Like, if I start talking about anime or something on the podcast, I'm not going to stop. And it's just going to get in the way of me talking about manga, which is like what you guys are here for, right? But again, in the future, if you guys are interested in that kind of material, it'll just be bonus stuff. It will never conflict with the main episodes. And I forgot all the updates. Oh, another thing. You guys might have noticed. Yeah, this is why I'm marking this plus updates. So it's going to be a longer episode. I'm hoping you guys come in with that expectation. If you guys have noticed following me on Twitter, I'm starting to post little snippets of stuff that I'm reading. And I think that's a good like supplemental material, because then if you guys are curious, you guys can just check out my social media and see, you'll have some sort of reference for what I end up talking about that week on the show. So like this week I posted a couple of just screenshots of, because I read my manga digitally, so it's very easy to do this, of Flying Witch. And it gives people a feel for like what it looks like, what the characters look like, the art and everything, and just like how the writing is. And just like a little slice of the manga for you guys to reference. And also, it's just, you know, it's just, I want to be better about posting material on there besides just like episode updates and postings. So I'm going to try to get better at that, at least like once a day, just posting like a snippet or something of whatever I'm reading. And of course, it's not going to be super spoilerific unless you're just the kind of person that doesn't want to see anything about the manga. Nothing spoiled, no page, no panel. Unfortunately, then in that case, it would be considered a spoiler. But for Flying Witch specifically, and like I just posted one thing from Sweetness and Lightning that I did covered last week. It's not a manga that could really be spoiled in that way, you know? So if you guys like that kind of stuff, let me know. I'll keep doing it. But I like doing it. It's like I see something on a page that I really like, or I thought that was really funny or something. I'll screenshot a portion of it, put it on Twitter, and just write a little tiny comment. And a couple people have liked the post on Twitter, so I'm guessing you guys are cool with it. And I think that's it for updates. Shoutouts, I did get a new follower on Twitter, Jillian Ellers. She is a New York City school librarian, Japanese culture and manga CCD librarian, among many other things. So thank you for the follow. I feel like I get excited if I get any new follower on Twitter, but when it's specifically someone who's already doing something related to or in the manga industry, it makes me feel kind of like proud, I guess, because like they're interested enough in me to follow me, which it would normally be the other way around, because I'd be following them because I think they're way more interesting than I am. So I don't know, it gets me excited when somebody with some sort of like experience in the field follows me. I get really, really excited. So thank you very much. And thank you guys, just all you listeners, because week to week, the podcast is growing little by little. I get a few new listeners each week. It's not going down. It's going up. Like statistics on Anchor, which I use as a hosting platform, it's showing that the podcast is constantly growing, which is good. It's a good sign. It's kind of insane. I'm really happy. And finally, with that, that was a really long intro, lots of updates and shoutouts. Thank you guys for being patient. This week's episode it's episode 35. It's on Flying Witch, which is written and illustrated by Ishizuka. And I don't have a gender for them, so I'm just going to refer to them as them or they. Though the name does sound female, right? Chihiro? I'm pretty sure that's female. And there's not much on them. They just write Flying Witch, write and draw Flying Witch. I tried to look at their previous series, but there was nothing. I think they had a Flying Witch one shot at a point, and then that turned into a full fledged series. So, yeah, let's get into it. It's published by Vertical, which is really confusing because I thought it was published by Kodansha, and it is published by Kodansha in Japan. But the credits at the end of each volume make no mention of Vertical. It shows Kodansha and the copyright and all that as well. So it's like, really, I'm confused. It says Vertical, but it was in the Kodansha Humble Bundle a while back. So I don't know. Anyways, there are 7 volumes. The 7th volume isn't available digitally yet for some reason. It's got a really slow release. Like volume 8 doesn't come out till next year. So it's like a volume a year. But with the release of Volume 8, we'll be caught up with the Japanese release, which is good. It's just that we'll all be waiting snail's pace. If this is a manga you constantly feel like you need to binge, I don't think it's actually a manga that you really are going to need to binge. I think it's like when that release comes out, you read it, you enjoy it, and then I guess wait a year for the next one. That's the only thing that sucks about manga releases sometimes. But, you know, it's in comparison, like movies and stuff, like sometimes you're waiting years for a sequel to a movie or a video game. So I guess it's not a huge deal to get one volume every year, right? But the manga ran from 2012. It's been running since then in Besatsu Shonen Magazine, which I think is the first time I've mentioned it on the podcast. Currently running series alongside Flying Witch are Attack on Titan, Heroic Legend of Arslan, and To the Abandoned Sacred Beasts. I think recently Mari Okada's Oh Maidens in Your Savage Season recently concluded in that magazine. The chapters are published monthly. It's a shonen magazine. Monthly is interesting, but that could explain why it takes forever for a volume to come out, I guess. So Flying Witch is a comedy, slice of life, and supernatural manga. And it follows a teenage girl named Makoto, who moves to the country, I guess, the rural area of Japan. I think it's Aomori Prefecture. And that's actually where the author grew up, apparently. I forgot where I saw that information. Apologize if it's untrue, but I believe that's what somebody said in like a discussion board, that the author is originally from Aomori. And Makoto moves into the country with her aunt and uncle and then 2 cousins. One boy, his name's Kei. He's her age. And Kei has a younger sister, Chinatsu. And it doesn't really explain why she specifically decides to move in with them, but and like why they're even cool with it. But it seems like, I mean, Makoto does comment on one page that the aunt and uncle are pretty open-minded So they generally seem pretty relaxed. I mean, they live in the country. Their life seems pretty easy. I'm really jealous. Chinatsu does ask Kei how long Makoto is going to be there. And Kei just basically answers with a vague, like, well, when she's ready to be on her own, or, you know, something like that. So, I mean, they're all pretty chill about her just deciding to pack up her bags and move in with them. So you basically discover that she's a witch. I don't think it's really a spoiler. And part of her witch training, I guess, involves her being out on her own, like getting some independence. I think at a certain age, you're expected to leave the home and just go out and complete your witch training, I guess. And yeah, I guess part of her witch training is just like experiencing life, nature. It's kind of vague. I don't know. Her training's not very specific, is what I'm trying to say. And it does kind of just feel like an excuse to set up a slice of life manga with some supernatural aspects, which I really don't mind. I don't expect this to have like a super strong like world building or foundation for this, you know. But yeah, she just wants to be a witch. It's a life decision, apparently, not necessarily something you're born as or forced into. And we get hints that her parents are kind of tough on her, so it could have also been a reason for her to just like want to become a witch, I guess. And she travels with her familiar, which is a black cat named Chito, and she's super cute. Oh my gosh, I love Chito. I love all the animals in this, and I'll get into that later. But they talk back and forth a lot, so Chito's actually really intelligent, though at the end of the day, she is a cat that gets into some cat antics, which can be really amusing. And yeah, this is just a really relaxed, slow-paced, slice-of-life manga. And I remember when the anime initially aired, which I mentioned, I think, last week, that I did start watching and then I dropped because it was just too slow at the time. I just didn't have the patience for this kind of series, I guess. But people threw around the word iyashike, which is Japanese for healing. And the term is used a lot when it comes to like pure slice of life manga or anime. And it's generally a way to describe series that have like a soothing, relaxed atmosphere. And they really emphasize like the good in the world, I guess, like just the little things, like experiencing the little things, you know, and enjoying the little things. And for instance, in Flying Witch, they live in the country. So her cousin Kei is very adept at cooking and farming. And the characters tend to do that a lot throughout each chapter. So, and there's no major conflict. There's no death. There's no violence, really. Even like in comedies, a lot of the comedy comes from like, in a lot of comedy series, like physical violence, right? I don't know why, but Japanese comedy loves like its physical comedy. But in this case, it's not even that, you know, much is there. Like there's really no violence. There's no hitting somebody over the head or just like, you know, people getting bloody noses, like fountains of blood pouring out their nose, like not that kind of comedy. And it's just really just like, it's super laid back. It's just a manga for like when you've had a stressful day and you want to curl up in bed and just read something chill, you know? And that said, stuff like that can be boring for some people, not going to lie. It was the reason I did drop the anime a while back. But if you're in the mood for it, like I was this week, it can be really rewarding. And the manga is really, really, really funny. It really is. Makoto, I'm still warming up to her as a character. But like her whole shtick is that she's really spacey and easily distracted. And a recurring joke is that she has a terrible sense of direction. And so like, I don't know. She'll, like, for instance, she'll have, like, this false confidence. It's like, yeah, I can get there on my own, I think. I'm pretty sure I know the way. And then she immediately starts heading in the wrong direction. So, like, just stuff like that, that's played for laughs. Her just, like, terrible sense of direction, which I can totally relate. I'm just like Makoto. I can't. We can drive to the same place once a week for years, and I will not remember how to get there because especially if I'm in the passenger seat, I'm just zoning out, looking out the window, occasionally looking at my phone. I'm not paying attention to where, like, whoever's driving it, where they're driving. I just kind of was like, whatever, I don't have to drive, so I don't have to focus. And that's why I have a terrible sense of direction. But yeah, that's just a recurring joke for Makoto, and it's definitely relatable. Then there's Kei, who, again, is her the cousin that's, like, kind of around her age. And he doesn't really seem like he stands out much at first. Like, he's mature, I think, for his age. But occasionally he'll say or do something that's pretty funny. Like, when he first introduces Makoto to Chinatsu, he's like, and like with a serious, like just deathly serious face, he's like, this is your real mother. And then Chinatsu's like, she just looks horrified because she's like, who is this, right? And that's what he tells her. And like, it's just like, yeah, it feels natural in a way that's like an older sibling picking on a younger sibling. But then also, it kind of just fits. I feel like it fits Kay's character. Like, he's pretty laid back, but, like, he says some really funny things. And, you know, there's not stuff that's always outright funny. Like, there's one time that Makoto sees that Kay's going to hang out with some of his high school buddies. And Makoto's like, oh, that sounds like fun. Can I join? And, like, she's, you know, kind of like, she's not oblivious to certain things, but she does act, like, sort of innocent sometimes, right? Or ignorant of certain things, I guess. But Kay's like, yeah, that's probably not a good idea, because you'll be disillusioned if you listen to some of the stuff we talk about. So you're like, you know, it's like the boys will be boys kind of thing. You kind of know where their conversations are going. And so he just feels like a normal teenage boy, which I really like. He's also a big scaredy cat. That's like a recurring thing. It's like and it sucks because he's dealing with a lot of supernatural stuff now that Makoto has entered his life. So it's just a recurring thing that he's a bit of a scaredy cat. So everyone has their quirks. Chinatsu, her reaction stuff, especially like the supernatural stuff, is really funny because, you know, she's a kid and kids tend to like overreact and whatnot to normal things, let alone like supernatural things. And also kids tend to be like super straightforward. So like they'll just say things with no regard to anyone's feelings. And Chinatsu does that a lot. She'll just like blurt out the first thing that comes to mind. And in most cases, it's never what you expect. So that always just lends to some really funny situations. But yeah, Chinatsu's really cool. She's initially kind of wary of Makoto, but she warms up to her pretty quickly after learning that she's a super amazing witch. And seeing her get excited over magic is just like really cute and infectious. So there's not much to the aunt and uncle. You don't see a lot of them, at least in the first two volumes. I believe in volume 3, you do get to learn more about the aunt. And she seems pretty cool, I guess. Like, I just like typical parents, I guess. I don't know. I'm just glad they're not dead or non-existent, like in most series. So that's a plus. And there are other characters. There's a girl from the school named Nao, and she's Kay's childhood friend and Makoto's classmate. And we haven't gotten too much of her, but she seems like a nice character. Again, everyone's like super chill. There's no like tropey like tsundere character or like just like overly violent or obnoxious. You know, like no super excitable characters besides Chinatsu, but Chinatsu is excitable because she's a kid. So I like how it's not, we don't have like these super extreme tropey characters. Everyone feels normal. It's really weird. Like this whole manga just feels normal despite all the supernatural stuff going on. And then we get some more from Makoto's sister, who's also a witch. And I can't remember her name, but she's a really cool character. She's kind of like, I guess she's got like that tomboyish feel about her. She just likes to, she's older than Makoto. She likes to just sit back and enjoy some alcohol. She's more adept at magic than Makoto is. So occasionally she'll teach Makoto some spells. And she likes to travel. And just like, she seems like a bit of a loner. Just kind of like she kind of just goes, and she also just kind of goes with the wind. Like, she's just, like, one of those, like, free spirit type people. She's a really cool character. Let me see. So, despite dealing with witches and whatnot, again, I said this manga feels really normal. It doesn't feel super fantastical. It's mostly just, like, everyday life in modern-day Japan countryside with, like, a little bit of magic sprinkled in each chapter. And it is fun to see what kind of, like, magic, like, the author's take on magic, what they think witches are or witches should be, right? And so that's where a bit of the variety comes in. In most cases, like, the spells are really unconventional, so they never work how you think they're going to work. So it's fun to discover, like, how something's going to turn out. And occasionally you'll see some magical creatures, like, in Volume 3, they interact with a giant flying whale that has like a city of ruins above its head. It's really cool. And it's also like visually just impressive, the scale. And just speaking of which, the art is really clean. It's kind of got like a digital look to it, not a ton of visual flourishes or anything like that. It's just like really simple, soft backgrounds and just like clean, attractive character designs. I like how occasionally the characters will change their clothes. I definitely noticed Makoto styling her hair differently at times, which I always appreciate little details like that. I know you guys probably know this from listening to the previous episodes, but I just have a thing for like really detailed hair. I don't know why. It's just, I think it's really cool, the extra attention to hair, because like anime and manga characters just have really cool hair sometimes. But like even in this case, they just have normal hair, but like just the fact that she styles it differently, like with like, you know, she braids it, I just think that's super cool. I don't know why. But I also like that this doesn't take place in a school setting, so it allows for more creativity, like in the wardrobe of each character. And you get to see characters outside in nature a lot, which is really nice. One thing I did notice that's kind of a detriment is that some of the characters look samey, like with their eye, you know, their facial designs, I guess. Like Makoto and Chinasu look very similar if at first glance, if you don't see like the height difference and if they're not on the same page. I remember one time there was a scene before a chapter break, and it was with Chinatsu, and then the next chapter focused on Makoto, and she had changed her hairstyle, so I didn't recognize it at first, and I thought it was Chinatsu, but it was Makoto, because I'm like, oh yeah, she's flying the broomstick, like this, but I'm like, why is Chinatsu on a broomstick, right? So, like, it was really confusing. So occasionally you get a little bit of that, like, same face syndrome, so it's not, like, a huge detriment, because, like, you realize the difference almost immediately afterwards, but, like, that initial first glance, like, wait a minute, oh, okay, I thought that was Chinatsu, that was weird, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, just like really clean art, nothing too crazy. Again, like when they're casting spells or like you interact with mystical creatures, that's when like the more of the variety comes in, more of the detail. I did like in volume 4, Makoto goes to a, what is it, a fabric store, and usually the backgrounds are pretty like not really busy, it's pretty tidy, right? But like this fabric store just has so much stuff cramped in it, and it's just like super detailed backgrounds. So, and there's like some nighttime scenes in volume 4 that just look gorgeous, like by the beach and stuff. And I'm just like, wow, I love this. So like occasionally the art will really just like pop off a little bit, and I really enjoyed that. But like, I think the art's like serviceable. I think the character designs are really attractive, and you know, the background stuff are nothing to write home about. The author does use a lot of white space, but I think that makes the characters pop a little bit more. So it's not necessarily a detriment. Yeah, it's just a really just chill series, I guess. If you guys are in the mood for something like this, based on what I said, I definitely recommend you check it out. And again, it's not something you don't necessarily need to binge. It's just like you want to pick up a volume every once in a while and read through it. I blazed through like the first 3 volumes pretty quick. I was like, I'm like in the middle of the 4th one. And yeah, I'm really enjoying it. But that calls it for this week's episode. It's probably very long. I thank you guys for sticking through. I hope you enjoyed this. Next week, I'm excited because Kodansha is, guess what, having a clamp sale. So the sale ends on the 11th, I believe. So if you're interested in any of the series in that sale, I would recommend getting on to it. But I've said in the past how I don't do a lot of shoujo, and that's because there's not always a ton of shoujo sales. But since next week, Kodansha's doing November Spotlight, a clamp series and stuff like that, I was like, this is perfect. It's a perfect opportunity. And so I picked out Clamp's Cardcaptor Sakura because I haven't really engaged in anything from Clamp, actually, besides like Code Geass, the designs are from Clamp, but no like Clamp manga, right? So I was pretty excited. I picked up Cardcaptor Sakura. I bought the first 2 volumes of the collector's edition, which I think they're 2-in-1 volumes. So there's like, so it'd be a total of 4 volumes technically, and it's like 250 something pages in each of those omnibuses. So it's written and illustrated by the manga group Clamp. They're a group of individuals. It's not like one writer, one artist kind of thing. So it's different, and I'm really excited because I don't check out a lot of shoujo series. I think Yona of the Dawn was like the last one I did, and maybe the only one I did. I'm trying to remember. And oh, by the way, Yona of the Dawn, that also blew up in popularity recently. I was just checking back on the listens on my older episodes. I'm like, wow, it has more listeners than the Promised Neverland episode now, which is crazy because that was my highest listened to episode since I started. And people really like Yona of the Dawn. And from what I read of it, I thought it was really, really good, and I want to return to it. So that might be another part 2 episode, maybe next month, maybe for the month of December. That might be Yona of the Dawn might be the next part 2 episode. So look forward to that. I mean, I'm just going to go ahead and announce it, because why not? Okay, yeah, Yona of the Dawn's going to be in next month's episode, so you got an even earlier start if that's something you want to catch up in, because I didn't really get to talk too much about it, because I only had read like 2 volumes of it to cover for the show, and there's like 17 out now or something like that, so yeah. So next week is Cardcaptor Sakura by Clamp. Okay, guys, thank you for listening, thank you for being awesome, and I'll catch you next week.